is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and I can't believe how fast 25 weeks can fly right by. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Oh my gosh, Alonzo. Oh my gosh.
Week 24, how did we get here?
Next week is like officially, I know it's still June, but officially the kickoff of Christmas in July.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. It's an interesting thing that Hallmark's doing this year, and I don't know if you picked up on it, but like movies and mysteries starting early as they do, but they're only doing that last week of June instead of doing 2 weeks. And then it looks like Hallmark is picking up July 1 and doing the full month or, you know, three until like the 25th, I think. So if best I can gather.
No, I think all the way to the 30th. And then I think the 31st is a Friday or Saturday. So that's when they're going to start whatever August is. But yeah, no, it's very cool that they're treating it as a season unto itself and creating originals for it and all that stuff. So yeah, I'm down. I will miss our special times, but I'm sure we'll have other, you know, good ones ahead.
Well, we'll have one more next week, and then we're going to do even more stuff in July. Good. It's not like we're not going to hang out, Alonzo.
Okay. I always worry, you know.
But this special you and I time, I mean, I think there will be probably other people with us.
Okay.
So this
that'll be fine, I guess. It just won't be the same, you know.
Yes, I guess. I'll be at Rama Drama this weekend, which I'm looking forward to.
Happy Leon Day, everybody.
Thank you. To kick off Christmas in July, we'll be down there in Florida. The downside is that I do have to go to Florida.
These are your people, Bran.
I know they're my. I don't know. I don't think they claim me. I don't claim them. I don't know. But it'll be nice. It'll be nice. I'm really looking forward to seeing the people.
Yeah.
And it'll be a fun way to kick off Christmas in July, and then things get moving, absolutely, and grooving on Monday. So we're really looking forward to it. Do you got any big summer plans? Are you doing anything?
I mean, I'm going to Bramblefest, which I'm very excited about. Because who doesn't want to be in the Southeast in August, you know?
That's right.
But no, I'm very pumped about that. I had a great time in that Greenville when I went last year for the marathon. So looking forward to Bramblefest and seeing all the double deckers and everybody else who shows up for that. That's going to be a hoot. Beyond that, no big travel plans or anything.
I don't want to jinx anything, but I feel like this is like things feel good right now, right? I feel hopeful that we're doing well and we're going to be able to like actually do the events that we're talking about this year. It's always exciting.
Yes.
And like
fingers
be able to
crossed.
Do it well
Mask
with
on
people
plane.
And friends. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited about it. And I know the Christmas Con's going to be out there in August as well in California. I might be able to scurry over there maybe potentially. So lots of fun things going on. Very excited about it. But very excited about today, Alonzo.
Okay.
This is a movie that we've talked about before.
Okay.
That neither of us have seen it.
Oh,
that we want to watch it. That we've heard good things about it. That a good friend of yours says it is the best of this series of a certain kind.
All right. We are
going to watch Home Alone 5. Home Alone 5.
Okay.
A movie that I think it's Bibbs says it's like the best of the
I believe
three
it's Bibbs.
Five.
I think also the host of the Tinseltown podcast, the mayor of Tinseltown, also a big fan of 5. So the buzz has been building up, if you will. Different kind of buzz, you know what I mean.
Different type of buzz.
Christmas
buzz.
But yeah, we have you know buzz. There's a character named
Buzz. Your girlfriend.
So, Buzz, your girlfriend. Thank you. All right. Just making sure that worked. Okay. Yeah. So, cool. Well, I'm
excited.
I
have seen 3.
Okay.
And I feel like maybe I saw 4, but I don't know for sure. I know I have definitely not seen 5.
I jumped from 2 to Home Sweet. So, yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot. But from what I understand, I don't have to see 3 and 4 to know what's going on. So, I'll just be watching 5.
Have you seen 2?
I have seen 2.
Okay, you just don't like it.
Not particularly.
Yeah. But we both saw the newest one this past holiday season, and we both liked it, which it wasn't beloved across the board.
Yeah, but not universally embraced, but I thought it was fun. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, I would like. I was watching it. I was really liking it, and then I was like surprised that people didn't like it. I was like, huh, I guess it's just me and Alonzo out here really enjoying. So that might be the case here with Five. We might be like, this is the one. This is a new Christmas classic.
I mean, look, part of me, you know, again, this is where the I'm old comes in. Like, I have no childhood attachments to this franchise at all. So I think a lot of people that didn't like Home Sweet, it was like, oh, well, it, you know, violates the spirit of the blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, I've got nothing attached to any of the Home Alone. So I was okay with how they decided to sort of play around with the tropes or whatever. So we'll see how Five scans. I'm very excited to check it out.
So you're saying people were upset that they like made the kid like the bat, like the baddie,
I think, yeah,
kind of?
Like that the kid was obnoxious and that we're rooting for the home invaders. Well, I'm like, yeah, why not? That's yeah. It, that, when you get to
we're six deep,
exactly. When you get to part six, you gotta shake it up, baby.
And if I remember Home Alone 3 very much, and it's not like that kid was remotely likable. So like, why? Like the only reason why Macaulay Culkin's likable is because he's just like this. Like there's something like magnetic about Macaulay Culkin
exactly.
As a kid. Like it was like if you look at him, he is still obnoxious. Like he is still getting into trouble. He's tearing down Buzz's bookshelves and not picking it up.
He's a little sadist.
Yeah, he is. So,
but you love him.
But you love him. What can I do? All right. Well, let's take a break. Let's go watch, and then we'll come back. It's on Disney Plus if you want to watch along as well. And we'll be right back here on Back to Hallmark. We are back. I got a haircut while we watched that movie.
I'll tell you, I've seen people multitask, but man, you
above
sat
and
there and you watched the film, had that thing around your neck, and it was a whole thing.
Do you want to go into business with, we do a movie-themed barbershop, and you go, I don't know, there's something there, like each chair has a movie theme.
There was a place that I used to go to in Los Angeles called Hammer and Nail, I think. And it was basically a dude mani-pedi place.
Okay.
That I think they were on Shark Tank and everything. But like every place, you know, every sort of station where you would sit, it was like a big sort of, you know, leathery, you know, comfy chair with arms and everything. And then you could have a scotch if you wanted. Like it was really like manly pedicures. But they also had like you had your own personal TV and headphones. So like while they're, you know, buffing away your calluses or whatever, you'd have the set on. And I would sit down and invariably it would be on ESPN. And I'd be like, where's Hallmark? There we go.
let me really man up this place a little
that's
bit.
That's right.
I don't really care how manly you make a place. I don't really want you messing with my feet. But that's a me thing. I know that people love it. I know
it's
people love it.
It's a real luxury. I'll tell you, I think you are one paraffin dip away from, I think, being pro-pedicure.
I do feel like I am, like, the audience for male pedicures. Like, I love Hallmark movies. I'm, like, listening to Lizzo. Like, they're made for me, right? But,
look,
alas.
I'm just going to say this. If you're going to wear sandals this summer, you better see to those feet.
Okay. I don't like sandals, and I don't want people wearing sandals. Personally, right. It freaks me out.
Keep your gnarly feet hidden away from the world, then.
I got to work with Dan all summer long. He's got his nasty feet out. It's not what I want.
Yeah, look, if you're going to display them, just, you know, they're going to require some attention. That's all I'm
Dan,
saying.
Dan, are you in here? his feet are nasty. All right. Home Alone 5, you want to do a little synopsis?
You picked this movie. This is
Oh, there
yours.
He is. There he is. Dan, your feet are nasty. I don't want to see them this summer.
What do you mean my feet
I'm
are
just
nasty?
Saying, I'm talking about how I don't like people wearing flip-flops. I think it's icky, and I talk about
I've seen more of your facial skin now than I ever wanted to see in my life. And so I don't think we have any room to talk about my feet.
Tell him he can wear all the sandals he wants as long as he practices some self-care.
Yes, you can wear all the sandals you want as long as you practice self-care.
Hey, thank you, Alonzo. What do you think if we all go chin straps?
Yeah, what if...
No stash. Just, all
just a neck beard only.
We'll shave him on the road trip. On the road trip. All right.
Rama Amish.
Rama Amish is probably the best we got here.
Yeah,
everybody,
I think so. We'll workshop it.
All right, Home Alone 5, the heist.
Home Alone : the yes. Holiday Heist. This movie is too classy for a number.
It originally came out on ABC Family as a part of the 25 Days of Christmas programming.
Yep.
Programming. November 25th of 2012. I'm imagining that is their
That's Thanksgiving week.
Thanksgiving week.
Take that, CCB. We got Home Alone 5.
Now on Wikipedia it says it's the second film after Home Alone 3 not to focus on the McAllister family. So does 4 focus on the McAllisters?
I haven't seen 4. See, this is where we should have like Bibbs or the mayor of Tinseltown sitting in because they did the deep dive on the whole franchise. Mm. I've never seen 3 or 4. And apparently the way people get excited about 5, you get even more excited if you had to endure 3 and 4 is my understanding.
So Home Alone, so they bring back main, including, what? Okay, whatever. We don't need to do this right now. Home Alone 5, The Holiday Heist.
We'll get there.
Originally aired November 25th, 2012, and it went a little something like this. I want to introduce you to the Baxter family, everybody. They are in the midst of quite the move from California to Maine. It's the mom, it's the dad, and it's a boy, a 10-year-old boy. His name's Finn. His older sister, who's Alexis. They are, addicted to the screens. Am I right, Alonzo? Just nonstop.
The kids today, you know how
I tell
it
you
is.
What, 2012, playing video games, talking on their phone, listening to music with earbuds. The nerve. So it's not, you know, they're having a tough time. So Finn, because he's always playing video games, is very afraid of things in real life, as you are. Things that go bump, ghost, etc. He's under the impression that his house, their new house, is haunted. And there's a whole backstory behind that. There's, you know, obviously the burglars, and they're coming in to steal back this painting that is valued like millions of dollars. It apparently belonged, it's a part of this whole like bootleg thing of, you know, moonshine, etc. And the painting is of the family. Is that right, Alonzo?
It's of the one of the robbers, like grandmother, is in this picture, which is supposedly by Edvard Munch, and put a pin in that. We'll come back.
Sure. Anywho, the burglars want to break in and get this painting. And they don't know at the time that people are there, obviously. They think it's a vacant house, nobody's moved in, but people have moved in. And so the oldest guy, the oldest burglar, goes in and sees a thing on the fridge for a Christmas party on this date. Whole family, there's going to be elves. And so he's like, the kids are going to be gone too if there's going to be elves at this party. So this is the time to do it. Now, Finn... he keeps hearing, like, he's afraid of things a lot. He goes down to the basement, finds the safe area behind the safe. There's a safe that opens up. It's a whole new room. There's moonshine, and there's that painting. He goes in there. It's all very spooky to him. He hears the old guy who has a boot on with metal, and he hears that guy. He's just afraid of
the whole. He thinks it's the bootlegger's ghost.
The bootlegger. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, he is trying to come up with a way to basically secure his house from ghosts, not really thinking that it's burglars. He, at the time in his mind, he's like, oh, gotta get the ghost. So the parents are gone. They're at this party. Finn goes to try to secure his house, but all he can afford is some string. On his way back to the house, he sees the bootleg guy. With the boot, he follows him. He hears the plan. He's like, oh, not ghosts. These are actually burglars that are going to break into my house. So he goes and he does the only thing he can think to do. Who should I talk to about this? And he's been chatting online with an adult throughout this movie. It's all above board, nonprofit, all over.
all up front.
Okay.
This guy basically says, just use what you have. Like, you're really good at video games, so what would you do in a video game to basically protect your fortress? Because at the time, he thinks he's talking about a video game. So just use what you have. So that's what he does. He does classic Home Alone. What would you call them? Traps. Yeah. And so they come, the burglars. Then the traps are working great, but they end up getting in. And the girl at the time, the sister, is locked in the safe room because she was back there, showed them accidentally. Yeah, you got it. So the bad guys break into the safe. They get in, but Finn used the string. You remember the string that he bought? Mm-hmm. Used that as plan B, which was going to basically he'd pull the string and it would close the safe up. So the sister was able to run out safe. Bad guys are, their whole plan is foiled. They get arrested as they do. And the kids learn a valuable lesson about living in the real world, because the girl reads a book in the safe and is like, books are cool. And Finn is like, I don't need video games for fun. And they're happy and they have a wonderful Christmas time. Christmas morning, they open up presents. He goes outside to play outside with no screen. And that, my friends, was Home Alone, the Holiday Heist. That's basically it, right?
There was a lot to get in there, but you pretty much covered most of it.
Let's talk about it. We had not seen it before. Neither of us.
We had not.
Apparently, we should have also went back and saw four. I've seen three. I remember seeing three. And even as a kid, I was like, it's not the same. Not the same. But we had heard from Bibbs and others that Home Alone 5 is a goodie.
Yes.
Alonzo, is it a goodie?
I mean, I think maybe if 3 and 4 were really terrible and then you got to this one, it would seem relatively like, oh, this is, because it actually, you know, it's doing the things it's supposed to do. It is hitting the marks that you expect a Home Alone movie to hit. Without that context, I thought it was fine. It's very made for TV. It's lit in that very bright, very flat kind of way. Weirdly enough, did you look up, you know who directed this movie? Mm-mm. Guy named Peter Hewitt, who directed Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which is my favorite of the three Bill and Ted movies.
Sure.
He also did Panda favorite Christmas at the Palace.
Oh, okay.
The ice skating one.
I know it well.
It's fine. It is a perfectly adequate kids movie. Some very talented people are slumming in this movie, specifically Malcolm McDowell as the main criminal. You know, he's the star of A Clockwork Orange. And one of his sidekicks is Debbie Mazar, who is like, you know, kind of a legendary actress. And now she and her husband actually have a very successful Italian cooking show. And they put out a cookbook and the whole nine yards. So it's kind of weird to see them being the people who get buffeted about and, you know, stuff flying in their faces and all that nonsense. There's a moment where, like, I almost wondered if this movie knew what it was about, because, like, the kids pitch a fit so the parents don't take them to the party that they're supposed to go to, and that's why they're home alone.
Right.
But the mom takes away the kids' video game controller, so he's like, oh no, I must invent my own fun. And so he does all the sort of, like, sledding down the staircase stuff, but like things that require actual sort of ingenuity and imagination. And it's kind of this fun moment. And then in one of the boxes, he finds the backup controller. And the second he finds the backup controller, it's back to the video game. Like that moment, that window of like, I'm going to make my own fun and do crazy things. No, I can play video games again. The heck with that.
Yeah.
If this movie doesn't get like rerun as much, it's probably because the whole my adult friend on the internet gave me advice subplot is maybe has not aged well, I'm going to say, maybe.
I don't know if it was a great plot in 2012.
Yeah, was it ever good? I don't know. I very much question what they were thinking on that one. And they backpedal out of it as quickly as possible, and the cops show up. And there is a funny scene where the guy finds the kid's mom and calls her on the phone, and she assumes that this guy has kidnapped her children and calls the cops, and it's like, why wouldn't you? So yeah,
I don't know if it's better though to just not
acknowledge it at all.
Acknowledge it. Like the fact that they acknowledged it shows makes it worse. that they knew,
thought about it.
Yeah, that they knew this was not great.
But you know, the traps themselves are you know, clever as they tend to be in these movies.
They were clever ones.
Yeah, and I don't know. It was fine. It was negligible, but it didn't make me angry, which I suspect that some of the movies in this franchise would. Although I thought Six was fine. Yep. As someone who is not invested in the Home Alone series at all, I laughed a lot.
Did you pick Six or this one?
Oh, Six. I had a much better time with Six, the Home Sweet Home Alone, which premiered last year.
You know what would have made this movie better?
What's that?
Actual ghosts.
Couldn't hurt, you know. You're in
When they first introduced ghosts, like the kids are scared, the kids afraid of ghosts. I'm like, are we actually going to get a ghost Home Alone situation? But no, we're not.
I mean, they do kind of have fun with the idea of like it's this bootlegger's mansion and the bootlegger himself has set up these traps, which is like why the sister gets caught in the safe and stuff. And yeah, the idea there's nothing there for her to do but read War and Peace. And at first she's like, but then like you see her about 40 pages in and she's riveted. So like I thought that was funny too.
So, you know, a lot with these movies is whether or not the lead kid is annoying. Mm-hmm. And this kid was fine. Like not as annoying as Three. I remember Three being super annoying.
He's not bratty. He's just not particularly magnetic. He's not.
He's kind of dumb.
He's no Culkin. Let's face it. It's funny if you look at this guy's IMDb picture now, because this movie was made back in 2012. 10 years later, he is now like cheekbones, very chiseled, but back then he's just like, you know, negligible kid, like, you know, Canadian kid actor.
Canadian kid. This is what I would say. One, you left out the most important movie that Peter Hewitt ever did, which is Garfield the movie. the guy who made Garfield the movie also made this movie. So there you go.
It's an eclectic filmography.
He's really doing it. I liked it. It's a fun, like, Home Alone's never going to be like amazing, but it's also never going to be like, it's a good story. A kid protecting his house with traps. Good story. It's all going to come down. It all comes down to the cast. It all comes down to the kid. Like, the reason why 1 and 2 are so great is because Culkin is Culkin. But also, Harry and Marv, like, perfect. You're never going to get burglars that are as good as the original two, right? Like, there was something special about those two together as burglars.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Pesci especially, I think, is who brings genuine menace to this. And so I think, like, if the burglars are too silly, then you don't care because you never feel like the kid is in genuine danger. They at least make a different move here where, like, you have three burglars and two of them feel like they're more of the sort of sophisticated, like, museum heist kind of burglars, you know, and then the third one's just sort of a doofus, whereas like Harry and Marv felt more street level, you know, so at least they're trying to sort of mix up the formula a little.
Yeah, but the traps were good. The story was fine. I would have preferred actual ghosts, but what can you do? I also prefer the 2021 Home Alone over this one. If I had to choose, but obviously 1 and 2 are sacred, and
we do
no
get drunk Ed Asner in this movie.
That's true. You know who I think was the best character in this movie was the neighbor girl who I didn't talk about in the synopsis.
Oh yeah, the snow obsessive. Yeah,
I found her to be one very funny. Like he would run by her house and they'd have this whole conversation. And she was always just like, that sounds great. Like, I just thought she was funny for some reason.
Always in the yard.
Always in the yard. Always playing with snow. She thinks snow is cool. I think that she's cool. Best character in the movie. Everybody else, fine. They're passive.
And despite the character itself being sort of questionable and raising a lot of weird issues, the guy playing the other video game dude on the other end of the scene was a funny actor. Like, he does the role well. The role itself is questionable, but the actor's fine.
Yeah. He reminded me of what's the name of the guy? He is the adult. Have you seen Cobra Kai?
I have not.
Okay. He was the lead in the movie about the that bombing at the festival, and he was the guy who called it in. This was a few years ago.
Oh, Richard Jewell. Oh, that guy.
Yeah. That guy. He reminded me of that guy.
Yeah, kind of. That guy's in Cruella, too. He's very funny in that.
Yeah, he is. So yeah. He, in Cobra Kai, he plays this adult who wants to get into karate, and so he joins the classes. It's just him with a bunch of kids. It reminded me of that.
Oh, funny.
Let's do Christmas feels. Alonzo, any feels to be had, and what level would you put this on the Christmas rating scale?
I mean, you know, they do work in terms of in creating the traps. There's one that is very sort of ornament based, you know, with like where he takes all these sort of balls off of a chain, and they get like it puts them through the snow blower, so they get, you know, aimed at the garage door. There's the gingerbread men that are like made of God knows what, but they,
and then
you know,
the glue milk,
the wrapping paper. So I mean, they're throwing in things, but I think the cheapness of this movie kind of undercuts the sort of warmth, you know, like it is very convincing as a house that people have just moved into. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
So, and given how much like the big Christmas party is like this terrible thing that they can't wait to leave, and then they get snowed into. About a 4.5, I think.
Yeah. So the Home Alone movies are always, so whenever the conversation about whether or not Die Hard's a Christmas movie comes up, I always bring up, if Home Alone is a Christmas movie, which it is, you have to also say that Die Hard is, for the very same reason.
Sure. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It, the stuff that happens around the movie is what makes it a Christmas movie. So Home Alone 1 and 2 do Christmas so well because, one, they have one heck of a music budget.
I was going to say, you really missed that John Williams sting here.
Yeah, but then also, like, in Home Alone 2, you got, baby, please, got, like, the great songs going around the already great score that is now, in and of itself, Christmas music is the score.
Yeah.
But then also, like, they do the snow really well, and they do the Christmas lights really well on the like, there's so much around it that make it Christmassy. So with this one, it did feel like that was the lacking part. Like, the fact that they can't use that score is wild to me. Like, you would think it would be in the property of Disney.
I don't even know who the they is at this point, you know, because like John Hughes, Chris Columbus, like the major architects of the original movie are gone. Like the third movie was directed by the guy who edited the first two, I think. But now we have this, we're like down to number five and we're premiering on an ABC Family. So I don't even know if any of the sort of original Home Alone brain trust is there. And it's just, well, Fox owns it. You know, it was still Fox at the time.
But
now
it feels
it's
like
under
if,
the Disney umbrella.
You know, I guess when somebody purchased or assigns a score to a movie, like we're going to get John Williams to create a score for Home Alone.
You got to pay him every time though. That's the thing. Even if he doesn't write anything new, you're still using that music. So like every time you might not be able to distinguish the score from Return of the Jedi from Empire Strikes Back, but he wrote them, he gets paid.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have really brought
would have helped.
yeah. But the snow is good in this movie, and
definitely.
But that's about it. So
thank
I think
you,
it's
Canada.
Down there at two to three zone. A movie recommendations if you like this one or didn't like it.
Oh gosh. I mean, mine is Home Sweet Home Alone, which I know a controversial choice. People who are diehards, if you will, of this franchise disliked it for a lot of reasons, but I found it really funny. I thought Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney were hilarious, and for me I love slapstick comedy. I love pratfalls. I love physical comedy when done well, but like I frankly think in the first and especially the second Home Alone, they go so hard that all I can think about is concussions. And In six, they still go pretty hard, but the way that Kemper and Delaney sort of play it off, I don't cringe as much, and I'm allowed to I can allow myself to laugh and not be like, ah, hematomas, you know.
There's a great, I want to say it's a YouTube video, not an article, but of an actual doctor going through all the things from Home Alone 1 and 2 and being like, this would kill them. This would give them a concussion.
I've also seen the theory that Kevin McAllister grows up to be Jigsaw, which I think is not that much of a stretch, really.
You have to imagine, like, that Macaulay will at some point... Like, I know he's revived. He revived the character for, like, a short, and he revived the character for that
TV commercial, right, yeah.
There's something here that, like, will be so perfect whenever he decides to lean into it all the way and, like...
Yeah, I mean, I think the funny thing would be if you have to create a circumstance which, for reasons that are not nefarious, but that are, you know, kind of what they tried to do in Six to an extent... If he has to break into somewhere where there's a kid and, like, can't explain and has to, you know, I don't know. I'm sure he's been pitched that a million times. He's like, yeah, pass, thanks. No. Mm-mm.
But I do feel like he's loosened up a little bit about the whole thing.
Yeah, he definitely has a sense of humor about it. It's not like, you know, you can't talk to Faye Dunaway about Mommy Dearest. Like, he gets it, and he'll like you said, he'll play off it at certain points, but I don't think he's particularly interested in retreading any of that stuff.
I have to imagine serious money has been offered to him to do.
Oh, no question. No question. Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a recommendation here?
Garfield. The Garfield movie. Just... Lean in. Let's have ourselves a Peter Hewitt-a-thon.
You are better off watching Christmas at the Palace than you are watching Garfield.
That's fine. We'll do it all in one night. Watch this movie, watch Garfield, and watch Christmas at the Palace, and just let us know how it goes.
Please, by all means, let us know in the comments.
Do a Twitter thread. Let us know. Keep us posted on your sanity. All right. We got one more week. Now, Alonzo, next week is the launch of Christmas in July, so... I haven't told you this, but we'll be covering a Hallmark movie on Monday on Deck the Hallmark. Mm-hmm. And so the 25 weeks finale, I don't think will air until Friday of next week at the conclusion of the first week of Christmas in July, which is also the last week in June. You get it. If you're a Hallmark fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
This all scans. Yes.
This all makes sense. But we got a big week next week for Christmas in July, kicking things off with Hallmark Christmas movies, and we got some new Christmas Hallmark movies coming out. So very excited for July. But this, the conclusion of 25 weeks, won't be until next Friday instead of next Monday. So wanted to let everybody know that. But what movie? We got a lot of recommendations, Alonzo.
Yes, we did.
Which one did we land on?
Well, you and I kicked them around. There were a lot of really great ones. Some of them, unfortunately, are not streaming, which even though like we could access our own copies of things, we didn't want to make it something that like most of the viewers couldn't easily watch. So unfortunately we had to back burner like The House Without a Christmas Tree and some other cool suggestions. But what we thought would be fun to do, since this series of 25 weeks of Christmas we've done has mostly boiled down to movies that Bran has never seen and movies that I think are terrible, we thought we'd cap it off with sort of the ultimate movie that Bran's ever seen and that I think is terrible, and that would be the classic sci-fi epic, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Yep. It is available everywhere.
Everywhere. It's in the public domain, so you can't not find this movie.
Yeah, so I'm excited about it. It's been a movie that I feel like I should have watched.
I'm shocked you haven't, frankly.
So it feels right to cap it off with this. It's been an amazing 25 weeks. Can't wait to cap it off this way, Alonzo.
Absolutely. And for everybody who's been along for this ride, thank you for watching. We really appreciate it.
And Alonzo, you're sticking around in July. We're going to kick things back over to what we were doing during the holiday season with Deck the Netflix.
Woo!
Cover some of the movies that we missed last year and some of the ones from prior years with our good friend Drax and Dan. So we're keeping the good vibes going, Alonzo.
Yes.
Until next week when we wrap this whole thing up, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, yeah, that Greenville, South Carolina. Is produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off. Whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.